Hi, this is John DeLancey, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
I don't want to all gobble anything.
I don't want to do it either, but, you know, that's what these companies think we should do. Because, you know, pop culture has become an oligopoly.
Yes. You sent me this article a little while ago. It was posted on May 2nd by Adam Mastronani. I'm sorry, Adam, if I just detangled your last name. After reading this, I found him on Twitter so I could follow him because I think he's a really interesting dude. Maybe we could have him on at some point or another to discuss this. But he wrote out this article where he shows graphs and charts and things about how a cartel of superstars has conquered culture. How did it happen, and what should we do about it?
And he was not wrong.
He's not wrong.
My college professor actually talked about this in different terms when I was still, I think it was like 2016, 2017, he was talking about it, and I figured out if I could get him talking about this stuff. We didn't do any work the entire time, which was great. But I was genuinely interested too. So he says, you know, basically how all these companies are using tent poles and playing to nostalgia and playing to things more or less guaranteed to make money instead of anything original, and using them as their tent poles. And like companies like Disney, where they tried to no avail outside of the Pirates movies, they really didn't have anything going for them for anything original or I forget. There was like, it was something Carter. They tried to make the Lone Ranger into something. They tried to make a few of the others into something, and just nothing was taking. And so what did they do? They bought it. They bought Lucasfilm. They bought Muppets. They bought Marvel. They bought Star Wars. And so they ended up with their own tent poles, because if you can't create it, buy it. So then they become the one-stop shop for all your nostalgia needs and pop culture needs. And so therefore they control you on every front. And so the funny thing about this article, and it speaks true of just about everything out there. I mean, whether you're into Transformers or into Ninja Turtles, Batman, Star Wars, Star Trek, any of it, all of the popular things are remakes, reboots, or sequels or spinoffs, or some expanded universe of some kind. And the writer goes to the mentioning of the year 2021 and saying one of the top grossing movies was Ryan Reynolds' vehicle Free Guy, which was an original. And there were only two original movies in 2020's top 10 and none at all in 2019. And this person's saying that, you know, people blame this trend on greedy movie studios or dumb moviegoers or competition from Netflix or, you know, humanity running out of ideas, and it's a sign of the end of movies. Others claim that there's nothing new about this at all, and which, yes, there's nothing new about stealing ideas, recycling things, but there's a way that they can make a new movie and not make it a part of something else that's out there. So, you know, some of it, the writer says, you know, some of these explanations are flat out wrong. Others may contain a nugget of truth, but all of them are incomplete because it isn't just happening in movies. It's in every corner of pop culture, movies, TV, music, books, comic books, video games. And, you know, the smaller superstars of these things are claiming a larger and larger share of the market. So what used to be winner takes some has grown into winner takes most and is now verging on winner takes all. Basically, this is where they get the term of the oligopoly, which is like a monopoly, but with a few players instead of just one.
Yeah, it's crazy. And this actually ties into something I want to do on Studio 2009 in the future, where we discuss the evolution and de-evolution of movie studios. Because it was because we did our Spider-Man episode over on Studio, celebrating 20 years of the first film. In the first theatrical teaser that they eventually replaced because of 9/11, in that they show the Twin Towers. Well, honestly, I hadn't seen that teaser in at least 20 years. I had forgotten that the original teaser starts off like a bank robbery, but it doesn't give you any indication, doesn't give you any, like, you know, we've talked about this for years now, but how trailers and teasers and how I say they are advertisements to get you into or not into the film or whatever. But literally, that original teaser was such a tease because you didn't realize it was a Spider-Man movie until you saw the webbing. But my point in bringing this all up is, at the very beginning, it has the Columbia Pictures card. Because at the time, back in 2002, Columbia Pictures was still... Like, I looked up, who owns Columbia Pictures? Well, somebody else owns it now. It's not its own studio anymore. It's under a tent pole of somebody, which I don't have pulled up right now. Anyway, yeah, this goes to the whole thing of we don't have original anything anymore, like new and original, because everything is filled with the landscape of prequels, sequels, threequels, fourthquels, fifthquels, you know, movie universes and whatever. And I'm all for a decently set up movie universe, but the universe got to die sometime. Bring Unicron in and have him blow the shit up. You know?
So that's kind of how they do it, is yeah. They reboot it with some cataclysmic event that reboots everything. You know, like Endgame and Marvel. It gave them a soft reboot. Kill off the old crew, start with a new crew.
Yeah.
The Spider-Man movie, you know, prompted the multiverse of madness.
Yes, that's true.
And they've hinted at, and I know who happens to be in the Illuminati group, but I'm not going to say who. Most people already kind of know. But
we know, but it's yeah.
Yeah, but regardless, it's opening the door to a whole new universe and new characters and ability to phase out old ones and start over and kind of keep that whole universe going.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I think the only two... Okay, now I'll say... The only five, and I haven't seen one of them yet, but I want to. The only five or six projects, films that I've seen recently were original films. Three of those original films are Ryan Reynolds movies. Six Underground, as you already mentioned, Free Guy, and he has a new one on Netflix now, The Adam Project, which we will be covering on Studio 2009. The other two were something called The Protégé and another film called Gunpowder Milkshake, which I covered on Studio. I covered both of those films with my buddy Tom DJ on Studio. Those are the only wholly original. Like, I'm sure Six Underground has some sort of reference to other spy things and whatever. And obviously Free Guy, even though it is an original vehicle, it still has various references to things, and that's fine. A movie can I don't care if a movie has references. I actually dig it. I think it's cool. You know, especially Free Guy with it being a video game film.
Oh, yeah, they're knocking off all kinds of stuff. And being that they got, you know, 20th Century Fox got eaten up by Disney, they were able to do a lot of that. But the article continues, like, regardless – the shift is gigantic. Until the year 2000, about 25% of top grossing movies were prequels, sequels, spinoffs, remakes, reboots, or cinematic universe expansions. Since 2010, it's been over 50% every year. And in recent years, it's been close to 100%. And it's saying that original movies just aren't popular anymore, if they even get made in the first place. Which I can kind of see that. Yeah. Because, I mean, I watch a lot of sequel stuff, but it depends now. Like, I've come to this point where I've watched enough of the natural progressions of films. Like, take, for instance, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yes, I've watched the television series on Netflix, or not Netflix, Disney Plus. But
right,
as far as the films are concerned, I really have no interest beyond Endgame and the Spider-Man stuff, because they're just starting over with a new crew. And so for me, the logical ending point was Endgame, and then just leaving it as is. And I really didn't have a reason to go back. I mean, yes, I'll probably see Multiverse just because I want to see the few characters that are in the Illuminati, but I've heard that some of it was so, like, jarring as far as what they did with, like, Scarlet Witch's character.
Yeah.
Kind of ignoring, like, doing a redo of WandaVision is what I've heard. But
yeah,
ultimately, like, I've enjoyed the original movies we've gotten. I've enjoyed the three, you know, the three Ryan Reynolds films that I've seen recently. There's, you said Six Underground. There's another one with The Rock, Gal Gadot, and Ryan Reynolds as well.
Red Notice.
And that one was great. Yeah. Like, I loved all of them. I mean, and all of Ryan Reynolds' movies have actually, at least Free Guy and Red Notice, are getting a sequel.
Yeah. Yeah, Six Underground was going to get a sequel, but then things went sideways. And look, I'm okay with it. Like I said on the episode with Tom and myself, Gunpowder Milkshake, they set it up to maybe there would be a sequel, but for me, there doesn't have to be one. With The Protégé, they didn't really. They might have set it up, but again, I don't. I miss the days of having a one and done film. Like, beginning, you start off your story, you do your opening credits, you whatever. Like when we just did Spider-Man Part 1 for the Summer of Spider-Man over on Studio 2009. I remember when I was in the theater in 2002, had no inclination that there would ever be another Spider-Man movie. And then 2 years later, there was. You know, it is what it is, and that's fine, and that's great. But I miss those days of not knowing. And with the internet, we can never not know, because it's all here. And you say you're not interested in Phase 4, correct? Like, in general, just a general thing. Yeah. So I did this on one of the Hawkeye episodes that Allison and I did, where I went through and I listed off everything. I went to the Phase 4 Wikipedia article and I just looked at the contents. So Phase 4 with the films starts with Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Eternals, No Way Home, Multiverse, Love and Thunder, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, Guardians Volume 3, The Marvels, and then it's going to end with Fantastic Four, according to this. For television series, we have WandaVision, Falcon Winter, Loki Season 1, What If, Hawkeye, Moon Knight, Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, an untitled Halloween special, Guardians Holiday Special, Secret Invasion, Ironheart, Armor Wars, and an untitled Wakanda series. Out of all of this, besides the stuff that hasn't released yet, I've seen No Way Home. I've seen halfway through Black Widow, but I still know what happens because I'll read a Wikipedia article more than I'll watch a movie sometimes.
Well, we know what happens to her character after, because she goes into...
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah, and then she dies, so...
Yeah, but like with the TV series, I've seen Wanda, I've seen Falcon, I've seen What If, and I've seen Hawkeye.
Me too.
I have zero interest in Loki because I don't care about Loki as a character. I will eventually, but I don't know. And Moon Knight, I don't even know. I mean, I know Moon Knight's been around for decades. Have no clue who that guy is.
He's like third tier Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so. And honestly, like Loki, it was more of like just there's nothing else to do than anything else. So like while I enjoyed it,
yeah,
it's not something I'll go back and revisit.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. They want to continue on. And look, I loved What If. You listen to all the Tooncast episodes that Allison and I did. We enjoyed the What If animated series. I don't know if What If is coming back because, you know, we just don't know. Because I read articles recently where it's like, yep, nope. No more What If, or we're not doing What If now, or we're pushing it off, or we're doing this, or we're doing... I don't know what it said, but, you know, I don't know. It just, it's one of those things where, yeah, oligopoly, it's everywhere.
I mean, even in the late 90s, 75% or less of best-selling video games were franchise installments. Since 2007, it's been above 75% every year, and sometimes it's 100% at the top of the charts. It's all Mario, Zelda, Call of Duty, and Grand Theft Auto.
Yep.
And, you know, they say, why is this happening? Well, any explanation for the rise of pop culture oligopoly has to answer two questions. Why have producers started producing more of the same thing, and why are consumers consuming it? I think the answers to the first question are invasion, consolidation, and innovation. I think the answer to the second question is proliferation. And these are this guy's words, not my own, but you know, he says invasion is software and the internet made it easier than ever to create and publish content. Most of the stuff that random amateurs make is crap and nobody looks at it, but a tiny proportion gets really successful. This might make media giants choose to produce and promote stuff that independent weirdos never could, like an Avengers movie. This can't explain why oligopolization started decades ago. And you know, then you go to consolidation. Big things like to eat, defeat, and outcompete smaller things. This kind of goes back to the tent poles that my college professor brought up with, you know, big Disney,
right,
ate
right
up the competition, defeated their competition. Like for instance, once they bought Marvel, they had a powerhouse going and they destroyed DC Warner Brothers with it. I mean, because DC Warner Brothers still can't get their crap together with all of their various projects. And then, you know, they outcompete smaller things. So over time, big things should get bigger and small things should die off, you know. So, and Disney with their hands in every pot kind of lives up to that. And then they're saying maybe it's inevitable that major producers of culture will suck up or destroy everybody else, leaving nothing but superstars and blockbusters. And you know, then the innovation part, they say, you may think that there's nothing left to discover in art forms as old as literature and music, and that they simply iterate as fashion change. But it took, you know, humans years of figuring out how to create illusion of depths in paintings and, you know, various innovation aspects. And so they're saying that it just breeds innovation by having all of these kind of playing in that field because they have to stand out. And then the proliferation is the invasion, consolidation, innovation, you know, can explain the pop culture oligopoly from the supply side, but all three require a willing audience. So why might people be more open to experiencing the same thing over and over again? As options multiply, choosing gets harder. You can't possibly evaluate everything, so you start relying on cues like this movie has Tom Hanks in it, or I liked Red Dead Redemption, so I'll probably, you know, like the second one, which makes you less and less likely to pick something unfamiliar. Which this is one of those tropes that I get stuck in, because right, if I don't know any of the cast, if I've never heard of it before, it makes it that much harder for me to watch it.
Yeah,
especially when it's TV or movies. When it's video right games, I still play things that I kind of grew up on, like the same basic concepts. You know, if it's a fighting game, you know, like a Dragon Ball Z or a Super Smash Brothers, yes, I'm gonna if it follows that basic formula,
yeah,
I'll probably play it. If it's a franchise I've heard of, I'll probably play it. You know, if it's a continuation sequel, unless the game I've heard is crap, I'll probably play it or see it or whatever. And so, you know, it's happening all across all of culture.
It's not just movies,
it's everything.
No, yeah, it is everything. It's all of pop culture. And the thing is, he mentions in here about you can only live so long in a diet of reruns.
Not necessarily. I rewatch
Star
Trek more than I can the new stuff. The new stuff makes me like tired.
I understand. I understand, but that's my point. I'm trying to make the point of he specifically says in his article that you can only, you know, where is it? God damn it. Anyway, he says in the article about how we can only live for so long on a diet of reruns of whatever it is. And my thing is, that's the one part of his article that I kind of disagree with, because like you, I like going back to old stuff too, or stuff I haven't seen in a while, or stuff I need to revisit because either I missed out on it the first time or I dropped off of it. Right now, as of this recording, I am in the middle of rewatching Legends of Tomorrow because it got canceled, and that's fine. Things can get canceled. Okay, fine. You know, it had 7 seasons. Do I wish it didn't get canceled? Yes, I wish it didn't get canceled more because I want those people to have jobs. Go ahead.
I've intentionally stopped watching shows if they're really bad, knowing that it's gotten canceled or knowing there's a definitive end, or sometimes I'll hold it through, like Supernatural. I held that through until, because they went 17 seasons or something to that degree.
Ooh, yeah.
And I watched all of it. And I stopped watching it for some time and then kind of blitzed through it. But Legends, I quit watching it a couple seasons ago because I just didn't care for the stories or the plot. But I've gone and watched other shows that have a season or two under their belt, knowing that they got canceled, and I watched them going in knowing that it's the definitive end.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing with me with Legends. I fell out just after, what was it? Crisis. Yeah. I fell out just after Crisis on Infinite Earths. I fell out of that. I fell out of The Flash. And I am... Now, I don't know if I'm going to go back to The Flash and start at season 1, but let me tell you, watching through Legends so far, I've had the rainbow of emotions that you can imagine. I've laughed, I've cried, I've whooped, I've hollered, I've whatever, you know. I'm really enjoying it. It's an enjoyable show up till at least the 3rd season so far in my rewatch. I have rewatched a number of shows just because I like having them on for background noise. I can't tell you how many times I've watched the CBS drama Numbers with Bernard from Santa Claus. David Krumholtz. I watched that all the time. I used to watch that all the time. Whatever. And when I'm done with Legends, okay, that's my superhero show for now. I have set myself up to rewatch a really, really old show, and I don't know how far I'm going to make it with this one, but so far it's wowzers. I have decided to rewatch Taxi with Tony Danza and Judd Hirsch and all of those old actors. It's got Danny DeVito in there on television. Like, I haven't seen Danny. Okay, I know, yes, Danny DeVito's on Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but I've never watched that show. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my whole point in saying any of this, is that I will go back before I will – because the problem with trying something new now, specifically to television, because we now have streaming and whatever else, what if it doesn't last and they leave it open-ended? Or, you know what I mean? Like, I can't get invested in new things as easily as I can. Oh, I remember this. I'll spend the next 2 hours watching this.
I don't know. It's just, it's getting to that point where, you know, like they say in the article, you have to do some foraging to find these weird and new programs.
Yep.
Or things, you know. They're saying that our spirit cannot survive on a diet of reruns. And I beg to differ. I beg to differ. Yeah. Because, honestly, I prefer, you know, watching a lot of the stuff that's out today that's a sequel or a continuation of some other or spinoff of some show that I've enjoyed.
Right.
Unless it's like a complete reimagining, which in some cases works and others doesn't. I prefer the reruns. Like some of the new stuff just seems lazy writing and just not entertaining. It's more of a downer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I just, at this point in my life, I prefer things that are kind of tried and true, and then I just leave it.
And that's the other thing, like, things that show me, oh, you might like this, and I look at it, oh, it's horror, or it's horror adjacent. I have no ill will towards the horror genre or people who love the horror genre. It ain't for me. I've known that since I was 5 years old, seeing Nightmare on Elm Street, when it scared the crap out of me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but like, yeah, I don't know. Like we said, and like Adam said, and like I said, I would love to have him on here to talk about this, but it just, how can we change it?
I don't know. We're not going to. Experiencing the difference, the different stuff, the weird.
Well, the thing is, and I said this on another podcast with somebody else, this is 2022. In 50, 60, 70, 100, let's just say 100 years from now, 100 years from now, as long as Warner Brothers is still a functioning company, they're still going to be pumping out Batman stuff. They're still going to be pumping out whatever's going to make them money. Same thing with Disney, now that they own Marvel and Star Wars. Like, I can't imagine what a Star Wars thing from Disney is going to look like 100 years from now. I won't be here to see it, but I'm saying these things, these franchises, these universes, these characters that are already, like, what is Batman? 1939 Batman, 2019, that's 80 years. 83 years now, whatever. But the point is, Batman existed long before I was born. As long as he's still making the money, he's going to exist long after I'm gone.
Yep.
And I hate to sound like a depressing dickhead about it, but that's just the way it is. And there really is no changing that.
You're not wrong.
Oh. All right. Anything else you would like to say on this?
No, I think that's about it. But I think that the takeaway from it is try new things.
Yep.
But if it doesn't work, you always have your nostalgia to fall back on, and you don't have to rely on the new stuff.
Agreed. Next time around, folks, I have been working on something, and I have been kind of planning, because I don't know, I want to be able to talk about various things, and I want us to be able to talk about various things that we don't normally talk about. And I figured, hey, let's do a look at messaging services from their, you know, general SMS inception to Facebook Messenger and MSN Messenger and 404 message not found. So that's what's coming up next here on Altered Geek.
Sounds good.
Yep. Take us out, sir.
So you can get a hold of us on the podcatcher. You can get a hold of us on the website, geekcastradio.com, or you can get a hold of us on Twitter at Altered Geek or myself at SCP21. How can the good folks get a hold of you?
On Twitter at TFG and Mike.
So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Hi. We're your local high-speed internet and cable provider. Are you looking for a fast, reliable internet connection? A large selection of your favorite HDTV channels? With 24/7 access to the best customer support technicians, all at a fair price? Fuck you. You'll take what we give you.